I'm happy to share what the Lord has encouraged me. The Lord will restore honor. It's a promise from the Lord. What is that honor? The Lord will restore. The honor which God gives us is that His relationship with us. See, God wants to have relationship with us despite of us. That's a great honor a man can have. God wants to have relationship with us. God desires relationship. The whole book, this Bible, from the beginning till end, it reflects only one thing: restoration of our relationship with God, which God in His mercy wants to give it to us. But we deserve hell. We deserve separation. We deserve punishment. But God says, no, I want to have a relationship. I want to restore a relationship with each one of us. That's the greatest honor. You know, Bible says Christian life is exciting. Am I misquoting the verse? Is Christian life exciting? Bible says in Proverbs 14:14, a godly man's life is exciting. Godly woman's life is exciting. Why? That is because he is restored to God. He has a relationship with God. That is the excitement for us. Nothing else. If we think about all those godly men in the Bible or besides that, we see that people had relationship with God. And they were excited. They lived an exciting life. Not the way the world sees the external things, blessings of the world and things like that. No, not really. Ultimately, this was written by David, the Psalm. David enjoyed his relationship with God. He lost it and he cried unto God, "Lord, restore unto me the joy of salvation." What is that salvation? I lost relationship with Lord. Save me back to that relationship. That is exciting. That's what he was yearning for, hungering for. I hope all of us are hungering for that. That is what our goal should be. Nothing else. Nothing else, brothers and sisters. Why we see godly men living a powerful and a profitable, fruitful, a better life, that is only because they have a restored relationship with God, a strong relationship with God, and then God delights. See, God created Adam. God was self-sufficient, but still He created Adam. God wanted to have a relationship. Then God looked at Adam and said, "Hey, he seemed to be lonely. You know, I don't like that." God said, looking at examining His own creation, God said, "This is not good." And then He gave a partner. "Oh, I want you to have a relationship." See, God wants to have relationship. That's why He created us. But we lost it. But God did everything possible. He went out of His way to restore the relationship. That's what excites God. God takes delight in that. Would like to read a verse in Acts chapter 17, verse 26. I was thinking about this yesterday. "He made from one every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and boundaries of their habitation, and they should seek God." Why? Why He ordained, or rather, He appointed times and boundaries, habitation, where they should live, and circumstances, situation, difficulties, sufferings. These are all arranged by God for what? So that they should seek God. That is the purpose. That's what I see, Lord. Give me that hunger to seek You. and come into a better relationship with you? Is there something? See, that prompted David to write that. Lord, point out anything that makes you sad. Lord, restore to me the relationship. Point out. I think that should be our ultimate goal. We're so excited today. Why? Why that excitement? Why we should be happy today? We have some baptisms. And I look at them, those six brothers and sisters. Wow, the relationship is restored. And they come into a joyful relationship with the Lord. And now they're not divided between this and that, nothing. They got the focus. Right. Not only we, the whole heaven rejoices. That's what it says. Jesus kept on saying, the joy, heaven rejoices. Jesus himself said, he's the only one who came from heaven. He can tell us what's heaven like. When a sinner repents, somebody is restored to a relationship with God. Every time when I read Kingdom of God, where Jesus said in Matthew 6, where he says, seek first his kingdom and righteousness. That means what? That means come into a relationship with God. Do what is right. Doing what is right is righteousness. What is right in God's eye. And then come into a relationship. That's, he is the king. You have a relationship with him. That, if you do that, what is the outcome? Outcome is all that you need will be provided to you. A marriage, don't struggle for it. Marriage will fall in place. Don't try to look for the right person or right circumstances, right situation or right job, or this right, that right. No. Be the right person. I was blessed by that. To read that somewhere I read. Be the right person. That's what the whole Bible, if I read, you see, be humble. Be humble. Then the Lord himself come and revive you. I'm quoting Isaiah 57:15. The Lord says, God longs to revive whom? The right person. Who is the right person? The humble and broken, contrite. And God says, I'm waiting to revive the humble. But don't look, oh God, do this, God, do that. See, most of our prayers are, God, do this, God, do that, do this, do that. No, it's not do this, do that. And God, we are telling God, oh, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. Not really, Lord. Am I the person? Am I the right person? I desire a relationship with you. Then automatically God will do everything. He knows what to do. In fact, I think brother was quoting that verse. He has a better plan. He has a wonderful plan. He has a exciting plan which really surprises. If I look back my own 30 years of life, I am surprised about everything. Like Brother Zach was mentioning, I thought I should start writing that. Brother Zach was mentioning on 4th. You just write down what God has done. That is, when you are in a good relationship with God, he will do it for you. He is excited to have a relationship with you. Jesus came to restore that relationship. See what it says here? They should seek God if perhaps they might grope for him. Yes. Are we groping for him? We are in dark. And here it says, grope for him and find him. That is the purpose. He's not far from us. We have to grope for him. That means it's not that he is somewhere. No, it says he is close by. But the problem is with you. I am the problem. My heart and priorities. I'm not seeking for relationship. I'm seeking for some blessings. Give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that. You know, any father will say, in fact, we'll see that. Father wants to give. Okay, I'll give. But you want only that or you want relationship? We'll look into that. Acts chapter. Acts chapter 15. Here, verse 1. Tax collectors and sinners were coming near him and listening to him. See, these are the right people. Jesus felt that these are the right people. And they also felt that, yes, Jesus is someone who who is the right person to help us. Rather, he likes our company. Jesus likes our company. Who are the tax collectors and sinners? And both the Pharisees and scribes began to grumble and saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. See, they didn't recognize Jesus. Jesus said, I am here for the right kind of people. I am looking for them. Even in CFC, God is not far from us. He is looking for the right people. Not those who behave nicely outside. No. Not the educated. I'm not saying. Not only the educated. God doesn't look at external achievements and success or nice behaviors and all that. No. God looks at the heart. Is this heart is good? Is this heart humble? I will come and stay in this heart. That's why the receiving the Holy Spirit, it's to do with our heart. What is our heart like? You try to do, see, like Judas. He also thought that, oh yeah, I know some, it's good to give back the money. Judas Iscariot goes and take this money back. And he confesses to the priest, I did wrong. But not that. Jesus expected, or God expected, Judas to come to the right person against whom he committed that crime and say sorry to him. Not giving back the money. See, this is the... He was pride. He was a proud person. His eyes were blind. He could see only that. He was going by head. I've done this. But no, the restoration has not happened. The relationship is not restored. God desires relationship, not all this giving back money and all. Yeah, it's good to give back. Whatever need to be done, we have to do that. But the thing is, the focus is not that I gave this exact calculation. No, not this. It's a desiring for loving relationship. Here, verse 3, he told a parable. What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and lost one of them, does not leave 99? And he goes after that one and finds it. Then verse 5, when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. See, rejoicing. See, joy is the mark of a Christian. Christian life, the main mark is joy. Not smiling or not external appearance. Jesus, he was on the cross being killed. But he had full of joy in his heart. Because he was in the presence of God. He was in the will of God. God was very close to him at the time. He was going through sufferings. Here, he said, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. See, what an excitement. Jesus was trying to convey something here to the Pharisees and scribes. He said, see, you're thinking about all these external things. Yeah, they are sinners, yes. They are sinners, they are tax collectors. They're violators, they're prostitutes. But no, in fact, on another place Jesus said, see, you may be thinking that you have a lot of knowledge, understanding and all that. But before you, these prostitutes and tax collectors will enter the kingdom of God. That means, what is kingdom of God? Relationship. They will enter into the relationship with God. Not you. You are calculating. You are seeing God in a calculative manner. You think God calculates? No, God looks at the heart. Your heart is not right. Then it says that, this is what verse 7 said. Yeah, he's rejoicing. Verse 7, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous person who need no repentance. Yes, 99 are in the relationship, but one was lost. That is what I have come to seek and find. And these are the people who are lost. And they have honesty to come before God and acknowledge their sin. And they desire relationship with God. that will be restored to them. That's what Jesus is saying. That's why heaven rejoices. Heaven, every soul, but enemy is there in this world. Enemy is there. He is trying his best to destroy relationship. Husband and wife relationship, parents, children relationship, brothers relationship, sister relationship. No, he is putting fire everywhere, oil everywhere to destroy relationship. It's like the body. Body parts, when they are united, it's working well. Once it starts disintegrating, then the body collapses. Whole body dies. But Satan is trying his best to do that. But we have to be careful. We have to guard our heart. And we should be restored to a joyful, wonderful, exciting relationship with the Lord. That is what God desires. God wants. We were praising, thanking. I was thinking, Lord, how will that be in heaven? Wonderful. A full heart of joy in heaven. Everybody praising with total joy, total excitement. We have not come to that place. It's a restored relationship. Then, verse 8. Then he talks about another parable. There's a woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin and does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it. This is talking about relationship. When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost. Jesus is talking about relationship here again. See, he is saying this excitement. Are you excited? Are we excited? Are we just, God wants me to read the Bible a little bit. Oh, I'm not finding time for that. I'm not finding time to pray. I'm not finding time for church or fellowship. No, God is grieved. That's why God loves the cheerful giver. If you give 1 rupee cheerfully, that's much more excites God than you give 1,000 rupees or 10,000 rupees grudgingly. That's what God is trying to say. Are you interested in relationship? That's what Jesus is trying to communicate here. That what I want to see here is God is excited. We need to see that. God excited. Every time I am eager to settle something to come back to relationship with God, God is excited. We have to see that. Excited God. Sometimes we are so kind of, sometimes we, I don't know, Satan also works there to see God frowning at us, always like inspector. Sometimes some come and talk to me. I have to tell them, no, I think you are misunderstanding God. God is not a policeman. I think you have a picture that God is a policeman sitting with a stick and trying to catch you. No. But the thing is, if my heart is not right, then God is a judge. But if my heart is right, God is a father. Then very importantly, verse 11. A certain man had 2 sons, the younger one and older one. I don't have to go into the details. Here again, see, the father didn't have to give son anything. Father could have said, hey, get lost, man. See, you are not right with me. Why should I give you anything? See, you know, all righteous and unrighteous people in the world are treated equally when it comes to earthly blessings. In fact, unbelievers, they don't have any relationship with God. They have more blessings of this earth. But you know, God says, no. I give them that. That's how God gave this prodigal son. He said, I want it, my share. Okay, take it and go. Go. You enjoy whatever you want to do, do. But still, you know, I want to see that verse 31. That is the statement of God when he looks each one of us. Verse 31. My child, you have always been with me. This he's talking about the older son. And all that is mine is yours always. But you seem to have missed to understand my heart. But we had to be merry and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live. He was dead. He was on his own. And now he's come back to restore relationship. Are you not excited about it? You're more calculative, what you get, what you don't get and all that. Oh, you took and wasted. Why you still give him something? No. No, he's not come to take anything here. See, that is the picture of all of us. That prodigal son who came back to relationship. You know, he wanted to be a servant. I think he was not even expecting to be a servant. If we have that kind of a heart, Lord, I don't want anything. I'm not seeking for marriage. I'm not seeking for this and that. I'm not saying you should not plan for marriage. See, the thing is, everything will fall in place. Lord, I want relationship. I'm not seeking for comfortable life. Yeah, it may come and go. That my joy is not there. But Paul said, Paul was a classic example. Philippians 4, he says, I learned to be content in every circumstances. I mean, jail, fine. I don't have anything to eat, fine. I'm hungry, I'm fine, I'm sick, I'm fine. I am fine, I have learned to be content. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That means Jesus, I look at Jesus. Jesus was content with a relationship with God. That was the most exciting thing for Jesus. I have a relationship with my Father. I don't care what comes. But that's exactly what Paul was saying. He said, I'm content. It means who can take away my joy? Nobody. Even death cannot take away my joy. I can die joyfully. I can go through sufferings joyfully. Nobody can take away my joy because my joy doesn't come by these things. My joy doesn't come by all these external things. No, I'm not seeking for this. If it comes, okay. If it doesn't come, okay. But my joy is, the foundation of my joy is relationship with the Father. That's what he is seeking for. Just maybe I'll end with this. See, we have a book by Brazak, A Good Foundation. You know, what do you understand by that good foundation? There are chapters like repentance, faith, election, justification, discipleship, baptism in water, baptism in the Holy Spirit, sanctification, God's word, prayer, fellowship, and church, the end of the age. You know, when I look at all of that, it is all to restore our relationship with God. That's the foundation. See, God has a condition. See, God cannot just be having relationship with us when we are not cleansed. We have to have a hunger and thirst or desire to cleanse our own heart. That's why we have to repent. If I don't have a heart of repentance, it's like I slapped my mother and I don't want to say sorry to her. But yeah, mommy, give me food. She has to give me food. But do you think it's restored? The relationship is restored? No. It's not food. She may give food. Ah, and she gave me food. Okay, okay. Mommy, take 1,000 rupees. Okay. Now everything is okay. Do you think everything is okay? Oh, I gave money. Mommy gave me food. It's restored. No, it's not restored. There's a deep repentance is required. I have to go and touch the point where the error has happened and be mourning about it, loathful about it. And then only it is restored. That is repentance. If I don't have a heart of repentance, I can't be restored. It means changing my mind. How can I have a relationship like it? James says, I think 4:4, he says, if you have the relationship with the world, you are an enemy of God. No, I can't have a relationship with the world, with God. I can't balance that relationship. Like exactly like in a marriage, you cannot have a relationship with outside and you can have a relationship with the wife. No, it doesn't work like that. So that is repentance. Then faith, we have to see what God wants to do for me and believe His love. And faith means when I believe, I give myself totally to Him. And faith is the total confidence in God. And even Bible says, Hebrews 11:6, that if someone comes without faith, it is impossible to please God. If someone comes, he must believe that God exists. You know, that's how we get the fear of God. God exists. God is watching me. Joseph said, no, how can I do this in the sight of God? That is the faith. So without faith, I cannot restore this relationship. See, it's not the book and chapters and some explanation, some teaching, some doctrine. No, it is all the truth. God says, yes, baptism in the Holy Spirit. How can I continue that relationship? I cannot continue my relationship with God without the presence of the Holy Spirit with me, in me. I can't do that. So it's all required. Sanctification is required. Ultimately, the goal is God looks at people who lived only for the relationship with God. God is so excited. And God ultimately sees that, wow, this person, despite of all his limitation, imperfection, temptation, pressures of life, sufferings of life, and he comes out like gold, like Peter says. In 1 Peter 1:7, he says, your faith is so precious than gold and silver. It's not gold and silver, comfort. No, no, it's those who desire relationship with God. That's the goal of life, brothers and sisters. That's why Psalm 16:11, David says that, you make known to me the path of life. What is the path of life? In your presence there is fullness of joy. Where the joy comes in your presence, that means relationship. When I have relationship with you, I have the joy. In your presence, at your right hand, are the pleasures forevermore. You are my pleasure, Lord. Not anything else in this world. That's what. It's restored. That's the son, prodigal son. He comes back and says, Dad, I want to be with you. He was trying to say that, I want to give me some small place in servant's quarters. That's enough. I just want to be just with you. That's how he came. God was so excited. Jesus was saying this. In John 15:10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. See? Why God's commands are given? We will be rescued from the evil of this world. God says, don't touch it. Better I don't touch it. If I touch it, I lose my relationship. That's the big problem. It's not that, oh, nothing happened. Nothing happens externally. But what happens internally? I lose my relationship with God. And just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in His love. See, Jesus is talking about relationship. He's saying, I keep the commandment, not that this is right, wrong. No, not analyzing all that. He's saying that I abide in my Father's love. That's the goal for me. And in fact, verse 11, these things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. See, if you want the continuous joy, if I want an exciting Christian life, the only focus I should have is a relationship with God. That's what Jesus is trying to communicate. 1 John 1:4, and we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. See, he talks about we have fellowship with the Father and fellowship with the Son. If you have this, then our joy will be full. He's talking about relationship. 1 John, he wrote when he was maybe 96 years old. Very old. He said, do you have a joyful relationship with God? Do you really desire only that? Or are you seeking something else? You seek, you find it. You seek everything, you find it. But be careful that at the cost of relationship with God, you find something. And even Jesus spoke about the pearl of great price. And man sold everything and said, I want this pearl. What is that pearl? Relationship with God. Jesus kept on talking about relationship with God. And James 1:2 says that, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials and various kinds. Count it all joy. It's okay. No problem. We go through. We have to go through the struggles and difficulties. But finally, I want to end here. End here. What David said, I quoted that earlier also. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. See, David realized, more than all these things, I have lost relationship with you, God. Please restore that to me. Restore to me. I have lost the joy. I have lost my relationship with you. And that's the problem, Lord. I'm struggling. Verse 21, Jude 21, I would like to read and end. In Living Bible. Stay always within the boundaries where God's love can reach and bless you. This is the proper relationship with God. Always we should have a desire to stay all within the boundary where God's love can reach. I have a good relationship with God. God's love can reach. I want to be close to Him. And then He will help us. He will keep us from stumbling. May the Lord help us. Brothers, I have a video clip, 12-minute video clip of Brother Zach. We can play that.
The tragedy today in the world is people have not been convicted of sin and they're being told to believe in Jesus Christ. Are any of you sitting here today in that condition? You started your Christian life just with faith in Christ. Christ died for your sins. Believe in Him. My dear brother, sister, you got a wrong foundation. And you know, if you see a crack in a three-story building, you see a crack on the third floor. A crack on the third floor, a crack in your life, 30 years after you became a Christian, the problem is in the foundation. A crack in the third floor or the fifth floor, the problem is very often with the foundation. And when you find yourself having a serious problem, 15 years after you're married, or 20 years after you first accepted Christ, don't think the problem is there. The problem is an improper foundation in your life, right? When you started out your Christian life, you did not start with repentance and faith. So it's very important to begin there. And I want to say, everyone who's here, who's not come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I want to urge you, repentance means turn around. It's a 180-degree turn. Here I was, facing the devil and the world, and I turn right around 180 degrees. Some people turn around only 90 degrees. They give up part of their sin, but they keep some of it. Well, it's like a cracked foundation, an incomplete foundation. It's like half your building having a foundation and half your building not having a foundation. Make sure your repentance is a 180 degree turn, completely around. You were facing the world and sin and your self-light, and you turn around from that and say, Lord, I'm 100%, not 50%, 100% yours now. It's like marriage. Is marriage a 50-50 relationship? No. A 50-50 relationship in marriage will never survive the trials of married life. Marriage is a 100%, 100% relationship. Both must be committed to each other. A good wife or husband will not want to be with another partner, even for one day in a year. That's marriage. 365 days in a year, 366 days in a leap year, I'm committed to my marriage partner. That is true Christianity. Because the Bible says that Christianity is like a marriage. And that cannot take place if repentance and faith are turning around. Turning around does not mean I've given up sin. Let me clarify that. No. It takes time to overcome sin. It means I want to give up sin. It's a want to. Repentance is, I hate that what I've been doing. I want to give it up. I don't have the power to give it up. That will come later. But I want to give it up. So that's where it begins. That's what I would ask even those who are not sure here. Children and others sitting here. Do you want to give up that those bad habits, and the bad life that you've inherited, that we've all inherited from Adam. If you want to say, Lord Jesus, I want to turn towards you and I want to trust you that you died on the cross and you rose again from the dead, come into my life and forgive me. That's where you begin the Christian life. But then you move on from there and you have to come to a place of assurance. You need to be sure that God has accepted you. That's the place where the devil puts people in doubt. You have repented, you have trusted Christ. Then it says, let me turn you to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. I'm going to make sure that everybody sitting here who's in the kindergarten all the way to grade 10 or grade 12, everybody understands. Romans 5:1, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, there was no such thing as being justified before God. Justified is more than forgiveness. Forgiveness is when I've repented and I trusted the Lord. I ask him to forgive me. He forgives me. Justification is God now looks at me as righteous. Even though I'm not perfectly righteous inside, none of us have overcome sin completely. To say that you overcome sin completely is like saying I've become 100% like Christ. I have not become 100% like Christ. I'm pressing on. I've been along this way for more than 60 years, but I'm still pressing on. One day I will become like Christ when he comes again. But until then, I cannot say I'm perfectly righteous. But God is so holy that no one can come to him unless he's perfectly righteous. So what does God do? He clothes me with the righteousness. Christ himself becomes my righteousness. That's what you read in 1 Corinthians 1. And that is the meaning of justification. Just as if justified means just as if I'd always been righteous from day one. Not only just as if I'd never sinned, but there's a difference between being righteous and never sinning. Never sinning is a negative thing. Being righteous is a positive thing. So just as if I'd never sinned and just as if I'd been righteous all my life, that is being justified. I'm sorry to say many Christians have not been taught that. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. When you are sure that God has declared you righteous in Christ, the day you gave your life to Christ, God clothed you with Christ and he sees you in Christ. He does not see you as you're yourself. Then you will have, it says you have peace with God. Otherwise, you'll always be at unrest. Has God accepted me? Has he not accepted me? And do you know what else he says at that time when you come to him? Let me turn you to Hebrews in chapter 8 and verse 12. Hebrews 8 and verse 12. I will be merciful to their iniquities or their sins, and I will remember their sins no more. That is the most amazing promise. I'm sorry to say that in my case, I understood it only about 2 years after I accepted Christ. Because nobody told me these verses. Nobody told me these blessed truths that you need to know the day you're converted. God says, I will not remember all the wicked, wretched things you did in your entire life. Not only are you forgiven, it's blotted out. Completely blotted out. God says, I will not remember anymore. But I want to tell you about one condition, and that is very, very important. Jesus said in Matthew 6, I have to rush through these things because, you know, I've got to go through 10 grades in this one session. Matthew 6 verse 14 and 15. If you forgive others, your heavenly Father will forgive you. This is a condition for forgiveness. Many people think condition for forgiveness is you confess your sins. They know 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and righteous to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Correct. But there is one more condition. Matthew 6 verse 14. You have to forgive others who have hurt you and harmed you in your life. And if you're more than 4 years old, somebody has harmed you in your life. And those of us who are so much older, You have a history in your life of people who have hurt you, harmed you. Maybe your relatives, maybe your marriage partner, maybe your children, maybe your parents treated you badly, or so many people, maybe your boss, others, many, we have all experienced some type of harm to a greater or lesser degree from others in the world. And you must forgive them. We cannot remove from our mind the memory of what they did. That is impossible, because memory remains with us forever. But forgiveness is an act of our will. I say, Lord, before you, I forgive that person and that person. So if you can remember right now, let's do a little homework right now while you're sitting there. I'm sure as I speak, you can remember maybe two or three people at least, or at least one, who hurt you really badly, or hurt your family, or did something that made life difficult for you. Maybe your boss, maybe someone. I want to ask you in Jesus' name, have you forgiven him? I'm not asking you, have you, whether you can remember what they did. I'm asking you, have you forgiven him? Have you forgiven her? Whatever it may be, the sins that we have committed against Christ are billion, trillion times bigger than anything that other people could have done to us. And if I have been forgiven a trillion sins by my Savior, can't I forgive that two or three things that person did against me? It is a condition. Matthew 6:15. Here is the warning. If you do not forgive others, then no matter how many times you confess your sin, your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Let me repeat it. No matter how many times you have confessed your sin and quoted 1 John 1:9, if you do not forgive others, your Heavenly Father will not forgive your transgressions. That's another thing that is not being preached in Christendom today. I want to complete the picture of this beautiful face of Jesus. And there are parts of that face, the truth of Christ, which has been blotted out, torn out by the devil. And I want to present you the full, beautiful picture of our Savior, the full truth of God. And one important part of that truth is you must forgive others. You remember that story Jesus said, you can, I don't have time to turn to it right now. You can read it in the last half of Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 onwards. How there was a king who forgave a man millions of dollars, which he could not repay. And that man went out and caught somebody by the throat who owed him $10 and said, pay up or I'll put you in, take you to court. And he took him to court because the guy could not pay that $10. And he imprisoned him. And when the king heard about it, he called this slave and said, hey, I forgave you millions of dollars and you could not forgive that guy $10. Well, you're going to go back to prison. And not only prison, I'm going to put the torturers on you. Matthew 18, verse 34. And that is, I'll allow the demons of hell to attack you because you are not willing to forgive that man $10 when I forgave you trillions. I hope the Lord does not have to say that to any of us. My dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, be very, very careful to instantly forgive as soon as somebody has hurt you.